Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. Save Foods Incorporated, an agri-food tech company specializing in sustainable agricultural solutions, has received approval from the California Department of Pesticide Regulation for its pre-harvest treatment, Field Protect. This sanction announced recently enables the company to advance into the California market, known for its substantial agricultural output and leadership in organic production. Field Protect is designed to align with the stringent environmental and safety requirements of the CDPR, reflecting Save Foods' dedication to eco-friendly practices that serve growers, consumers, and the environment. The product's introduction into California's agricultural sector, which produced over $59 billion in market value in 2022, represents a strategic move for the company within the sustainable agriculture market. California's agricultural exports grew to $22.5 billion in 2021, a 7% increase from the previous year, highlighting the state's commitment to sustainable farming practices across its more than 2 million acres of organic farmland. Save Foods operates through three subsidiaries, each addressing different aspects of food safety, quality, and sustainability from field to fork. Save Foods LTD focuses on post-harvest treatments to reduce pathogen contamination and chemical usage, according to the company. The Organic Produce Summit, an event exclusively dedicated to connecting buyers and suppliers in the organic fresh produce industry, has announced the first content sessions for this year's summit. The event will be held July 10th and 11th at the Monterey Conference Center, and the Organic Produce Summit features educational sessions and keynote presentations and showcases solutions and innovations across grown food providers. Nicholas Bertram, president and CEO of Flash Foods, will give a keynote presentation titled Feeding Families, Not Landfills, on Flash Foods' collaborations with various retailers and grocers to address food waste, which is a $428 billion program, as over one-third of the nation's food supply goes unsold or uneaten. A panel entitled Strategies and Insights for Expanding Organic Fruit Sales features panelists West Matheson, president and CEO of StemOut, Scott Mabbs, CEO of Homegrown Organic Farms, and Daniel Spivey, National Director of Produce Fruit for Sprouts Farmers Market, will focus on ways fruit producers are seeking to build their organic fruit program, how other fruit commodities are growing as the berry category continues to dominate organic fruit sales, retail perspectives on opportunities and obstacles on driving greater consumer sales, and the future of the organic fruit industry. Tom Barnes, president of Category Partners, will moderate the panel, and the panel will take place on July 11th of the event. The summit will bring together over 175 organic growers, shippers, and processors from all corners of the business, providing a one-stop shop for retailers and buyers in the organic and fresh produce industry. Registration for Organic Produce Summit 2024 is open to qualified retailers and general attendees. For information and registration, log on to organicproducesummit.com. Innovative products, on-trend applications, and an international pizza bake-off are elements of the California Milk Advisors Board's presence at the Pizza Expo event going on now through the 21st in Las Vegas. Longtime Pizza Expo sponsor CMAB will again highlight pizza concepts inspired by the Real California Pizza Contest, the annual call for innovation in pizza using California cheeses and dairy products. Attendees can visit booth 2585 during the expo for additional details and to sign up for the 2024 Real California Pizza Contest, which is in its sixth year. According to the CMAB, California is a reliable, consistent source of sustainable dairy products used by chefs and enjoyed by consumers throughout the world. As the nation's largest dairy state, California boasts an impressive lineup of award-winning cheesemakers and dairy processors that are helping to drive dining innovation. The impacts of climate change in Central California's agriculture hub are causing such drastic increases in irrigation demands that annual water use over the past decade now matches the volume of the region's biggest reservoir, according to a new study. California's San Joaquin Valley, among the most productive farming regions in the world, has in recent years endured both excessive heat and multi-year droughts, leading to unseen upsurges in groundwater consumption, according to the study. It's water that's effectively disappearing, according to senior author Joshua Veers, a professor and associate dean of research at the University of California Merced School of Engineering. He says it goes unnoticed, but it's very real. The valley is a critical region for global fruit and nut production due to its Mediterranean climate, per the study. California as a whole provides 81% of the world's almonds, 42% of its pistachios, and 26% of global processing tomatoes. Yet in a region with a rapidly dwindling water supply, these crops necessitate significant irrigation provided by a combination of surface and groundwater sources, according to the authors, noting that the latter has been overtaxed for more than 100 years in parts of the state. He says there's dynamic tension between supply and demand. Attributing the supply variability to the Mediterranean climate, he explained that wet winters and hot, dry summers create an inherent disconnect between water availability. That disconnect applies both in time and space, with the most precipitation occurring in areas far removed from the principal demands in cities and farms. Nonetheless, the San Joaquin Valley's agricultural production remains a key driver of the regional economy and important contributor to the nation's food supply, according to a 2023 brief from the Public Policy Institute of California. The 2023 policy brief estimates that by the year 2040, average annual water supplies could plunge by 20% and eliminate up to 50,000 jobs and require the fallowing of nearly 900,000 acres in a worst-case scenario. Although the region's groundwater levels have been subject to a century-long downswing, the pace of that shrinkage has accelerated in the past two decades, according to the study. Dubbing this an invisible water surcharge, scientists determined that from 2012 to 2023 alone, demand has risen by 4.4% in comparison to 1980 to 2011. This translates to an annual increase of 717.9 gigaliters per year, which surpasses the 690 gigaliter capacity of the San Joaquin Valley's largest storage site, which is the Millerton Lake Reservoir, per the study. This invisible water surcharge jeopardizes the sustainability of fruit, nuts, and vegetable production while deepening the industry's dependence on dwindling groundwater, declining snowpack, and unreliable water imports. Surging water demands, they concluded, have created a stressor to the sustainability of these industries and require changes in management and policies to consider the shifting hydroclimate. Among the solutions, Veer said he could foresee for the region is an increased use of precision irrigation or switches to more drought-tolerant crops. For example, he explained that some farmers in a San Joaquin Valley have begun growing agave, the desert plant used to produce tequila. The California Avocado Festival, known as AvoFest, has donated $5,000 to Capitania's Future Farmers of America program. The donation was presented recently by board member Gary Dobbins.
California Department of Food and Agriculture has made $5 million available to California Citrus Quality Council and partner organizations to implement smart farming practices in citrus groves in 11 counties. The practices will chiefly focus on enhancing pollinator habitat in these groves, and the data collected will serve as an example for other growers to do the same. Over 3 years, 20 to 45 citrus grove projects will be funded in Fresno, Imperial, Kern, Kings, Riverside, San Bernardino, Santa Barbara, Tulare, San Diego, Placer, and Ventura counties. The citrus sector in these counties generates around $2 billion per year. California Citrus Quality Council's Jim Cranny explained how his organization will be facilitating and monitoring.
We'll be able to learn as the growers are learning about these practices. And along the way, we'll have lessons learned, and we'll be able to communicate that back out to the industry and also to regulators, because one of the things that we've experienced here are, you know, more and more demands on the industry to make progress in this area of climate smart agriculture and also protect pollinators. So we want to have a better understanding of what's practical for a grower to do, what can they do, and at the same time understand, well, are there ways that we could help here but modify it in a way that it suits growers better? So we're going to need to evaluate the costs and the benefits of these projects. And it really is an ideal situation, because having these grants available to growers, it allows us to do this without a lot of risk. The growers will be able to experiment, try new practices. And in this way, CDFA is going to pick up the cost. And I think it will benefit those growers who have a desire to try out these new things and go in that direction. But at the same time, It'll be good for the industry because we're going to learn from those experiences. And as I said, CCQC will be kind of a facilitator, helping, broaden, the communication for what's happening, down at this local level with an individual grower and be able to express what these growers are doing and communicate to a larger audience. And in doing that, we're all going to, hopefully move forward on this path, understand if it's really the right thing for citrus growers. And if it doesn't look like it is, we'll be in a good position to find ways to modify it and partner with, regulators and others who have an interest in this area.
Like other grants available for California growers, the grant for citrus will help offset the costs associated with efforts to increase pollinator habitat. Cranny noted that many citrus growers already practice good pollinator stewardship.
Some members of the industry already have, made some progress along these lines, and for whatever reason, they've been willing to invest, themselves in this area. But obviously, it is a cost, and we can only, this is a way that CDFA can facilitate, more people moving in this area, and it offers incentives for people who are really kind of thinking in this area, who might be kind of on the fence, thinking about how they could possibly do it, and then have CDFA, have a grant where you have a cap of $200,000 for a single project. I think that really helps make the difference and move people in that direction of being able to take, their own thinking and planning and desires to try something new, with this incentive that they can reduce the risk that it's going to be a problem for them. I think it's really going to be something that's positive for the industry and I think overall positive for pollinators.
There's been a growing desire amongst the industry as well as the general public to promote protection of pollinators and purchase commodities that support this effort. Cranny hopes the data collected from these projects will help the industry to tell its story about its continued contribution to pollinator protection and climate change.
The industry's already doing a lot to protect pollinators. We have a whole regulatory structure in place to protect pollinators during bloom, which is a huge way of protecting them. But by the same token, when you have some 270,000 acres of citrus in the state that's, going to be in bloom, it has to be one of the largest habitats for pollinators, especially honeybees, managed honeybees. And that's also a tremendous benefit already before we even did anything. But, moving forward and increasing some habitat and learning about what we can do, the positive part about it is that, we expect to learn some things that are going to facilitate this for other growers who can, don't have to go through a learning experience. We can provide information to them, and it'll be kind of a playbook for how the industry as a whole can move forward on this path. But at the same time, we might have to modify some things, and this gives us an opportunity to understand actually how to do it. And, as we move forward, we'll be able to use these, life lessons and the learning process, share that with regulators and, if growers want to, with the public. And I think that is, going to be a benefit for the industry overall.
Proposal applications for this grant will be open to citrus growers starting next week, March 25th. Links to learn more about the grant as well as the involved organizations in the description below. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
There is some growing concern that following wildfires in Texas that there may be some dairy production impacted. Jenny Wackerhauser with Ever.ag explains.
There's a little bit of discussion amongst producers about a little bit of a production issue in the panhandle of Texas. So the question right now is it a widespread problem? Is it confined to a couple herds? So it's one of those things we like to say in the market, buy the rumor, sell the fact. So right now it's a little bit of risk off, I'm sure, for some people who have been selling into this. We've been seeing lately, especially in March and April, a lot of volatility as people are trying to anticipate, have we found a bottom in cheese as we've moved back to $1.40 cheese of late. So it's a little bit of just markets trying to anticipate maybe a move.
She says volatility is likely to continue.
As we've seen all year in Class 3 milk, we have an abundance of new cheese coming into our marketplace. And so we're going to continue to see some volatility in Class 3, even though we are very stable and stagnant, I will call it, on our milk production. We've continued to have over 6 months in a row of a negative milk production report from the USDA. So dairy producers are not gaining a lot on milk production right now, which is good. Long term, that supports us, that's good. It's still a demand question. Do we pick up enough demand from consumers to take up that extra cheese we're seeing on the marketplace?
Once again, Jenny Wackerhauser with Ever.Ag. Walmart recently announced an investment in a new milk processing facility in Robinson, Texas that will open in 2026. The facility will support nearly 400 jobs in a community and allow Walmart to meet the growing demand from customers. Walmart's Bruce Heckman says this new facility continues their commitment to building a more resilient and transparent supply chain and ensuring their customers' needs are met for this everyday staple. Walmart has been working across its food offerings to deliver increased transparency about where products come from and ensure supply for grocery essentials. It opened its first milk processing facility in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 2018, and its second facility in Valdosta, Georgia is expected to open in 2025. Additional investments include opening its first case-ready beef facility in Thomasville, Georgia, building a second case-ready beef facility in Olathe, Kansas, and making equity investments and long-term commercial agreements with Sustainable Beef LLC and vertical farming company Plenty. Unit sales of 100-plus horsepower ag tractors increased slightly in February of 2024 in the U.S., according to new data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. The month recorded an increase of 2.8% compared to February of 2023. However, year-to-date data reflects sales below 2023 in total units of ag tractors and combines. Ag tractor sales dipped 14.2%, while combines finished under 18.9%. In Canada, combine sales jumped 27.2% in February of 2024 compared to 2023 and are up a total of 6.3% year-to-date compared to last year. A total of 131 combines were sold in February, adding to the overall year-to-date sales of 255 units. AM's Kurt Blades says the combine sales in Canada are a bright spot when we take a deeper look at February's performance, saying the uptick in sales of 100-plus horsepower ag tractors in the U.S. also bodes well for the long-term strength of the industry moving forward. Total ag tractor sales fell in Canada by 28.2% year-to-date compared to 2023. How has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted retail sales of organic food products over time? USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain has the story.
The organic food sector in our nation experienced significant growth over the past two decades, yet that market was impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. As USDA Research Economist Sharon Skorbienski noted at this year's Ag Outlook Forum, after reaching record sale levels in 2020, in the following year,
the organic market experienced the first ever decline in organic retail sales, falling by 3%. And then in 2022, the last year for which we have organic trade association data, we saw an additional decline by 3.5%.
She says the decline in inflation-adjusted sales of organic products in 2022 was not surprising.
In 2022, the United States experienced the highest food price inflation since 1978. Food price inflation was 9.9%. So organic products typically have a price premium over conventional products, and it can be challenging for consumers to purchase organics with tightening budgets and with increasing food prices.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Farm families from across the nation donated 31 million pounds of food and raised $425,879 to help fight hunger in 2023 through Farm Bureau's Harvest for All program. Combined, the monetary and food donations totaled the equivalent of 26 million meals. Now in its 22nd year, Harvest for All is spearheaded by members of Farm Bureau's Young Farmers and Ranchers program, but members of all ages from across the nation contribute to the effort.
The American Farm Bureau Federation's YF&R Committee Chair Kevin Lucier says that Farm Bureau's commitment to helping put food on the table of those in need through Harvest for All remains strong. Florida Farm Bureau took top honors for donating the most food in 2023 at 22 million pounds. Michigan Farm Bureau took top honors for raising the most money in 2023 at $222,000. In addition to raising food and funds, farmers and ranchers tallied 21,571 hours for local food insecurity efforts and other community service.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.